from the Carter Subaru Studios, this is the G and Ursula Show with G. Scott and Ursula Voitine.
I missed it, Ursula. I missed it.
What's that?
And if, by the way, if you missed the 9:45 segment, we need to talk at the end of the show. You can make sure you download the podcast because that was a good. Because I admitted to being pulled over. And spoiler alert, I got a warning. I did not get a ticket. But the one thing that I didn't think about, and I should have brought it up, it was the first time that I had been pulled over since 23andMe results. Right?
Uh-huh.
And the 23andMe results came back with me being 21% Irish.
Oh, God. Oh, no. Once again, you start off an hour with something really random.
You know, G, yesterday you told us you got pulled over, but not why. I was running through the list of reasons in my head. And one thing that did not occur to me once, because I think we have made a lot of progress with law enforcement, it was not for DWB.
Nah.
I knew that for sure.
I legitimately got pulled over for a reason. Now, you didn't think speeding.
Nope.
I said, you've made it crystal clear that you don't speed.
Why do you always use crystal clear?
You're not wrong about that.
All right, Ursula, what's going on this hour of the show?
Okay, well, let's get to it.
All right.
What's new at 10?
We're going to talk about electric vehicles, because if you are in the market for an electric vehicle, you could get a huge discount thanks to the state. So starting in August, some Washington residents are going to be eligible to get $5,000 off of a new EV or $2,500 off a used one when it's purchased from a dealer. Leased vehicles are eligible for discounts as well, $9,000 off a new EV lease, $2,500 off a used vehicle. But in order to be eligible, you need to make 300% or less of the federal poverty line. So that would be about $45,000 for a single adult or about $94,000 for a family of four. In case you don't know this, EVs are also exempt from state sales taxes, and some vehicles may qualify for a $7,500 federal tax credit as well. But let's just, I read this and I feel a little bit disjointed because I just think of electric vehicles for me, and I am well beyond the federal poverty line.
Yeah.
It's too expensive. It's too cost prohibitive.
Because you're not wrong. Now, if this was 2012, when the some of the newer the electric cars were coming out then, okay, they were more affordable. But today, and I hope y'all don't take this wrong, but it's the, I have to say it. If you're in a situation where you are making 300% less than the poverty line, which right now is at, like your numbers say, $45,000 a year. If you are living in this area right now and you are making $45,000 a year, y'all ready for this? An electric car is not a good idea.
Yeah, you're not buying an electric car.
No, because chances are, here are the chances are, if you are making $45,000 a year living in this area, right now we are broadcasting from Seattle. If you're living in this area, the Puget Sound, Pacific Northwest, if you're doing that, you're probably going to be living in an apartment. And there's not a lot of, matter of fact, there are zero charging stations at apartments. And then if you're able to plug up, you would have to plug up from your apartment. It's just not.
Is this performative?
This is so performative. This is so performative. And every time I look at this, we were supposed to talk about this before. I was not mad when we didn't talk about it, because now we're being forced to talk about it. And it's probably not good for radio. This is really dumb. This is really, okay, I don't want to call it dumb. That's not good. This is really not a good idea.
So I want to hear from anyone who maybe fits this description. If you are $45,000, that's about your income level, or $94,000 if you are, if you have a family of four. Would these rebates be enough to get you into an electric vehicle?
See, I don't think this is actually that dumb, G. You make an excellent point about charging stations. in apartments. But one thing that's important to know about this program is the money's taken off at either the time of purchase or the time of lease. So it's applied as the down payment for a lease, which means like you could get a used Nissan Leaf on a lease for like, let's see, the money here is like $87 a month for a lease on a Leaf. That's a great price. Or like a, you know, Hyundai Ioniq, $125. So if you're in Pasco, Richland, somewhere eastern Washington, or you live in a house that might have a charging station, or you have them in your area, it's entirely a feasible option for people. And we've been talking for how long about how ridiculous it is that we have, you know, a 48-cent surcharge on gasoline that hurts poor people the most, yet the only way for them to get into an EV is how it's impossible. At least the state is trying to get some people in, and it's going to be fairly complicated for folks to navigate, so you're going to have to be savvy to do this, I think. But it's going to help some people.
Now, the responses, Isaac and Everett says, ain't nobody out there making $45,000 buying an EV. They're buying a 98 Tercel with a clown tire. Once again, the government misses the mark. Let's look at anyone else. Anyone else think that this is a great idea?
Let me just be serious for a second. The people in the room, when they decided this was a good idea, this is what I'm saying sometimes when I say that sometimes there is a huge disconnect with people that don't have the means, right? The reason nobody in that room understood that, because even with your numbers that you say, Chef, like, oh, you can go and lease this vehicle. First of all, I just want to say this. I don't know and have not heard of anybody leasing any vehicle right now for under $100 a month. Let's just be practical. Let's just be real honest. I don't know. I'm not saying it's not possible. I don't know. That's one. Two, let's just say hypothetically, yes, G, you can lease a vehicle for under $100 a month. Do you know what kind of credit you have to be in that situation? Well, I'm just trying to show you like things that don't connect. Someone making $45,000 a year here in this area, chances are, I'm not saying it's not possible, but chances are you don't have great credit to be able to lease those things. This is not a connection here.
Richard in Covington texted in and said the infrastructure cannot handle thousands and thousands of electric vehicles, which is something that gets brought up each time, too, when you're thinking of, let's get more people driving EVs. Are we any better when it comes to the infrastructure? I think there's been progress, but you mentioned that it would also be not practical.
No. They just didn't put that much thought into this discussion. Again, if this was 2012, and I know people are bringing up the Bolts, Chevy Bolts, and those things, those vehicles, when they first came out, they were affordable. They were making great deals on it. Hondas, all the different kind of cars. But, no, excuse me, Nissan. Nissan had the Nissan Bolts that were out there. But right now,
Chevy Bolt, Nissan Leaf.
Yeah,
yep.
Those vehicles. But today, the EV market, it has gone up. Sure, do you get your tax break? Yes, you get your tax break at the very end, but not at the very beginning. I don't suggest if you are making $45,000 a year to go into the EV market.
Mm. Okay, let's talk about a big party that you're going to be hosting.
Oh, yeah! It's going to be great stuff. I'm going to be hosting the 2024 Seahawk draft party. It's the day one party is going to be tonight. It's going to be at the Queen Anne Beer Hall over there. I think it's just invite only. But anyways, it's going to be a good time. I'm looking forward to it. One, the biggest talk right now is, what will the Seahawks do in this draft? Remember, this is the first draft without Pete Carroll over in, 14 seasons ago.
I was thinking about that this morning when I was hearing Coach Mike McDonald. I'm not used to it yet.
Mm-hmm.
And the idea of a draft without Pete Carroll.
Right. Right.
John Schneider has someone else at his side.
Yeah. So here's some things to look out for. I can sit here and get into names, and I know you all want to know, but what do you think about Michael Penix Jr.?
Yes.
Do you think the Seahawks will take him? No, I don't.
Are they not looking for a quarterback, or it's just not him?
I just don't think that if they do get a quarterback or they go after a quarterback, I just don't believe that going after that quarterback right now, early in the first round, will be their objective. And I'll tell you why. One, they have Geno Smith, who's set to make $12.7 million, who's already the current starter. Two, they traded draft picks to bring in their backup, which is Sam Howell from the Washington Commanders. So they are solidified right now with two quarterbacks. Bringing in a third quarterback, let's just say that they do, in the first round, they're going to bring that investment into a first-round quarterback when they already dealt draft picks for their backup, and they're already on the hook for $12-plus million for their current, which is Geno Smith. I don't see that happening. I really see them going and drafting offensive line work.
And we need that.
Right? We need that. You know what it reminds me of, Ursula? You know,
it's not sexy, but we need that.
And that's the thing. A lot of times, the big guys, those are a little chubby, we don't get the love that those, you know, the guys that look great, they're all in that good shape. But at the end of the day, sometimes the big guys got better personalities. They got better jobs, but sometimes it's more stable. And so in this case, when you got a good offensive lineman, you can run the ball well.
I need to protect the quarterback.
See, look at you, Ursula.
Remember, my son was a center.
Yes.
Football team.
See, you
undersized
got,
center,
yeah,
but center.
But a lot of times that's not really that exciting for fans. Like, oh, really? We're going to get an offensive lineman? You know, but so I do think they're going to go that way because last season they drafted a DB, a cornerback, and then they also drafted a wide receiver. So they had two skill positions. One last point I want to make is this. This is also a new staff, right? Mike McDonald is the new staff. So how his view of what makes a good team is going to be different than Pete Carroll's view of what makes a good team. So we got to think that there's a possibility that how things were done in the past might not happen going forward.
So much was made of the synergy between John Schneider and Pete Carroll. Do we have a sense of what that's like now with this new coach?
I think the best way to judge that synergy would be win-loss record, right? So we got to wait.
Yeah.
I mean, it sounds good. You know what I mean? It's like a marriage. Like, you know, you went to the wedding and then everybody asked you, how was the wedding? And they're like, oh, the wedding was beautiful, right? The opening press conference for the Seattle Seahawks and Mike McDonald, it was beautiful.
Yeah.
And then,
well, the only thing I know is that VMAC no longer has all those pictures of the old
They just took down
glory days.
They just took down.
So there's a new sheriff in town.
I mean, it is. Well, sheriff's been a popular word today. it is a new sheriff. And yes, you take pictures down of the ex, but the ex still is there. We know who the ex is, you know.
Yeah. Well, I want to talk about one more thing in sports, as long as we're talking about that, because as you heard in Heather's newscast, Sue Bird is rejoining the Seattle Storm, but this time as an owner.
Yeah. One of the greatest at the game, Sue Bird is joining the WNBA Storm ownership group, Force 10 Hoops. Bird played 20 seasons with the team.
It has been my honor to play for this franchise, to play for these fans.
Fellow owners say Bird's dedication and knowledge of the game make her a superb addition. Bird says investing in women's sports is smart business, and she looks forward to helping grow the game. Heather Bosch, Cairo News Radio.
Are you guys excited?
I have a smile on my face.
Do you?
Such a great time for women's basketball, mm-hmm. first of all, and then the idea that she is going to be part of the Storm.
Okay, let me ask this. First of all, it's been so much good news centered around women's basketball. And then to hear that now Sue Bird is going to be part of the ownership group, fantastic. We do know that Caitlin Clark is coming here to play in Indiana Fever, coming to play the Storm on May 22nd. So much good things. So here's my question for you and everyone else. A, did you attend one Storm game last season? I didn't. Okay. I want to be clear. I did not. If you didn't or have never, this season, is there a plan for you to at least attend one Storm game this season? What do you got, Ursula?
Is there a plan?
I mean, do you plan to at least attend one Storm game this season?
Yes.
Me too. I for
just like I plan to attend at least one Seattle Mariners game. But
why'd you laugh? You attended a Mariners game last year.
Because I am pathetic when it comes to I went to the theater last night. I go to the theater more often than I go to sporting events. Part of it is I need to be better about figuring out where I want to spend my entertainment dollar.
No, but hold on. Ursula, don't feel bad because you don't go to a sporting event.
Like, I'll tell you what I feel bad about is not supporting Seattle Storm. As good as they have been, I've been to Husky games, and okay, that's great. Sure. I have no affiliation. I have genuine interest in watching Seattle Storm, and yet I've yet to go.
Okay. Yeah.
Also, you have to understand something about Ursula. She is working all of the time, right? So if she goes to the Paramount to see Aladdin, that is partially for the show. If she's going over to Squim,
it's true.
Or if she's going up north to the Tulip Festival, she's thinking about our listeners who she might see up there. So all of this is work-related content for Ursula. It just never turns off for you.
It really doesn't. In the middle of intermission last night, I was sending you guys text messages.
Oh, yeah.
Even ideas about the show. Oh, no.
So you and Steven went to the show,
yes.
Huh?
Yes. Go to Aladdin.
Whose idea was it?
I suggested and he jumped right on it. We wanted more tickets. It was full.
Oh.
It was opening night.
Did you guys go to dinner?
No. No. He had to work.
Oh.
And I took a nap before going. So it'd be fresh for today. You know, I'm learning. I'm trying to prioritize sleep, y'all.
All right. Okay. So I think and I believe that this topic coming up next is in the wheelhouse of all of the folks that usually listen to our show. And even if it's not in your wheelhouse, at some point it will be. Now, 1 in 4 Americans don't think that they will be able to do this. And this number is actually kind of heartbreaking. I'll tell you exactly what that is next. It's Jenner's show.
This hour of the G and Ursula Show is brought to you by Pella Windows and Doors.
This is the G and Ursula Show. Happy Thursday to all of you. And if you are in a safe place to do so, I want you to answer this question. Text us on the Muckleshoot Casino Resort text line, 888-973-5476, 888-973-CHIRO. On a scale of 1 to 10, 10 being very worried, 1 not being very worried. How worried are you about being ready to retire or your ability to retire or your ability to stop working and still live comfortably? Where are you?
You want me to answer?
1 to 10, yes.
1.
You're not worried at all?
Yeah, because I don't plan on ever retiring. That's out of my mind. Like, I don't.
Okay, can I tell you how that's not a good idea?
I mean,
because something could debilitate you and you're not able to continue working.
I know. I remember my dad. You all have your idea. Everyone has a different idea of what retirement looks like. All I know is I remember my dad saying, I cannot wait for the end of the school year. Because remember, my dad was a resource officer at a police at an elementary school. At the end of the year, I'm done working. I'm not going to work anymore. I can't wait to come out there. I'm going to be coming out to Seattle at least once every couple months. I can't wait to go to some games and all that stuff. That was his plan. And it was his conversation in January. He passed away in February.
I hear you. I hear you, which is probably why I answered the way I did the other day when I said, take that vacation even if you need to use a little bit of credit. But in any case, there's a brand new study that shows that 1 in 4 Americans over the age of 50 do not believe that they are ever going to be able to retire. Yeah. So this is a survey of more than 8,000 people done by the AARP. This survey also found that 70% are worried about costs going up faster than their income. Also important to note that 1 in 4 Americans have nothing in retirement savings. Now, that worries me as there are conversations about is there going to even be money available left in the years to come? Or there's also talk about cuts to entitlements, including Social Security and potential changes in Medicare, et cetera, et cetera. This survey also found that debt is a problem for many older adults. One third have a credit card balance now of more than $10,000, and 12% have a balance of $20,000 or more.
So Ursula, the people that I know of, and especially some of our text line, I've gotten to know you all over the last 4 years. Here's the thing: that most people that retire, they don't just retire and be like, I'm on the beach, I travel when I want to, I have extra money, I can match the cost of inflation and all those things. I'm saying most. When I say most, I mean like 90% can't do that. So it's a very small percentage that can. The other side of it, which I think is the bulk of it, is that when you do retire, you might do something to supplement your income. You might work part-time here, or I work 2 days a week here, or I might work 1 day a week here just to get a little bit of cash flow for yourself so you can do some things, whether it's buy gifts for your grandkids or for your kids or a little bit of travel. So when I say I'm at a one, I don't think I'm going to be able to just retire and sip Mai Tais on the beach. I always think that I'm going to have to do something to supplement my income.
Yeah. I would put myself at a 7 or an 8.
On how worry? I have
on worry. And
you get a pension.
Yes. We've also been saving. I've been saving. But I have seen firsthand what happens when you don't plan properly, and what happens when it is left to your kids to pick up the pieces. I have seen how you can struggle when you have a medical issue come up late in life and you don't have things mapped out. So this idea that one in four have nothing in retirement savings, and this is not to shame anybody, that's going to be a huge problem.
Yeah.
And if you're thinking that you can keep working until you die, first of all, that's not realistic.
I agree. Now, of all the states, I don't mean to poo-poo on the state of Washington. And I know sometimes people are like, oh, I'm moving from here. But if you are going to retire and you want things to last, your money to last longer and have more comfort, I think that you are better off leaving this state with the regressive tax rate system that goes on in this state. This is the second worst in the country. The property taxes, you get taxed literally every time you pop open a microphone, you're talking about some new tax. So if you're going to be retiring, you might want to retire outside of Washington, y'all, because it is really expensive.
Can I bring up a point on this? Because, Ursula, you talk about the impact on kids, right? This issue is going to make income inequality so much worse in this country.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's two scenarios, right? There are people who will get something from their parents when their parents finally pass away, right? And they're going to have that jumpstart for the rest of their life. And then there's people who may not even be able to retire themselves 20 years down the road, who are going to have to be paying for those at least one in four who won't be able to stop working, but will have to at a certain point in time. I mean, it is really sad. Like, Ursula, your mom moved to the Philippines. I have a family member who is moving out of the country this Saturday because they can no longer afford to work to live here.
Exactly.
I'm telling you, you're the president of the club. You should start. You are the president
this is
of
why,
the club.
This is why I'm telling you, if you have nothing in your retirement savings right now, and Dave in Snohomish County, I want to apologize because he was really worried when I said, go take that vacation. Yeah, go take that vacation. My point was, don't stop enjoying life right now and keep thinking that you're going to do it later, 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 because later may never come. But don't be foolish and not save for that later also, if that makes sense.
So you're at an 8, 7 or 8. I'm at
Let's say 7.
You're at a 7. I'm at a 1. Chef, where are you at?
Probably a 6. I would be a 10. The only reason I'm not is because I live with my parents, and I know I'll probably get something once they pass.
Watch this. Hey, Nick, where are you at, bro?
Probably about a 5, 7 or 8.
Oh, you're actually worried?
It's a tough question because I'm younger, so I don't know what's ahead. But at the same time, I'm a pretty good saver.
You have to also understand, I first of all, I thought I was turning 58 this summer. I'm turning 59. Somehow I lost a year.
Well,
so as I get closer to that retirement age, and again, I am someone who has been saving in my 401k since I started working here.
Yeah. Well, I'll say this, and this is for Nick. Nick, you should be at a 0. Because if you're a youngster, if you're Gen Z, hear me out. If you're Gen Z, you should just plan on working the rest of your life. You guys can't even get into a house working a full-time job in 2024. What are we talking about?
No. Nick, right now, if you're not maximizing your 401k, you're not doing it right.
Okay, but Nick, it's hard for Gen Z to get into a house today.
Yes.
So they don't even have that.
Yes, but the idea of not saving for the future as well.
I didn't say save.
Not a good one.
I think the age is going to be raised by the time it's time for retirement for me. But yes, you got to max out that 401, even at a young age.
Okay, Ursula, check this out. Have you ever had steamy pics taken before? Because that's the new, right?
No.
Spouses these days are taking steamy pics for their significant other. Well, that's going to be a scenario, but the husband's like, wait a minute, who took the pictures? We'll do that next, Gene Ursula.
Scenarios is brought to you by 1-800-DUI-AWAY.
It is the G and Ursula Show. I tell you what, this text line, Ursula, is buzzing on the discussion of 1 in 4 Americans, right?
Not feeling like they can retire.
They're worried.
And a lot of people are worried. Hey, just a follow-up on that last discussion.
What's up?
If you can afford to have a financial planner, it is a great investment, and I would just highly recommend doing that.
I agree with that. All right, this scenario is good. Let me go. My wife and I have been married for 3 years, and it's fantastic. Last weekend, out of the blue, she said she had a surprise for me. She made it a big production and surprised me with a bunch of professional nude photos. She told me she did a private photo shoot to give me a sexy surprise. She's usually shy, so this was a big thing. It was sexy. Very steamy pictures where she was showing everything. Sure. Was I excited? Yep. But then I started to think about it. Hey, wait a minute. Who took these photos? So I asked. And it was a friend of ours who took the pictures. He has been trying to get into professional photography for some time now, and he heard that there was good money in sexy bedroom photos. But he didn't have anything for his portfolio, so then I found out he did it for free in exchange for allowing him to use the pictures for marketing. This friend is a dude I've known since college. I'm uncomfortable that my friend has seen my wife naked and has photos of her. And now he's going to be using them for his advertising. It feels like cheating, but I'm not sure. And why would my friend agree to do this without even asking me? My wife is now upset with me for making her feel bad about it. I think the whole thing is weird. Am I wrong to have said something to her? What do you guys think? 888-973-5476 is the Muckleshoot Casino Resort text line. Ursula, do you have experience with this?
No. I have not had any sexy pictures taken by a friend, a male friend, who did not tell my husband. No, I've not had that experience. However, I know women who do those types of pictures, yeah, and they can turn out beautifully. And the one thing that I would have done, the one thing that stands out in this scenario, is that if I were the wife, I would have told my husband about it in the first place. Now, it was supposed to be a surprise. I would have thought that maybe a friend, a male friend doing these pictures, a male friend who would then have control over these pictures, could be an issue too. So I probably would have either gone with a different photographer,
mm-hmm,
or asked my husband about it first.
You know, you like free. And this situation is free.
Wait, hold on. Hold on.
With strings attached.
When you said that, you know you like free. You don't?
I do.
Okay, just wanted to make sure I established that one.
I do.
So, yeah, I think that I would probably figured, knowing my husband,
yeah,
and I would imagine that maybe she would know that her husband wouldn't feel comfortable with it. I mean, it's a great idea, but to bring someone like that into the bedroom,
yeah.
Yeah, it's a little uncomfortable.
He's
not wrong to feel that way.
You got 1 minute, Chef. What do you got?
Hey, happy birthday, husband. I got totally naked in front of one of your longtime friends. I hope you love it. Isn't this great? What a terrible idea. I try to be sex positive, but then I hear a situation like this, I'm just like, hell no. By the way, if you are ever considering having these pictures taken, just keep in mind, they are not only for you and your significant other, they are also for your kids and grandkids someday.
Ursula, I got 10 seconds to explain
this.
I'm gonna be crystal clear on this. I would be so mad.
You would be. I don't even need to ask you.
I would be heated if you thought that it was even a good idea to get these pictures taken by one of my partners. And now, not only does he have the photo, he has these forever.
Mm-hmm.
Forever. And so whenever he's like, yeah, gee, he cool. But you seen this lady? Hey, I seen her. Mm-hmm. No, absolutely not. Nick?
Well, no problem doing modeling shoots with someone for spicy and steamy photos for whoever they're for. But if you're with them romantically and have a funny feeling about it, maybe get the word out on your vibe before you're letting her go full spread on a guy she met on social media, a photographer named Ted. And I would just say, yeah, put the leash on it. And Chef's right. The receipts don't expire or lie on these bad boys.
Nick wins. Before you decide to go.
Full spread.
Okay. I don't know if my wife's working, but don't do it. Just don't do it, period. Stranger, free, pay for, don't do it. What are we going to do? Keep those? And only thing that's going to happen is the grandkids and is going to go through storage. And then they're going to see these racy pictures of grandma from, you know what I'm saying, during this time. Imagine this. Imagine if you went through your parents' or your grandparents' things and you saw them naked. Would you be traumatized? It's not a good idea. I just don't think the picture's a good idea, period.
I'm going to disagree with you on that one.
Okay.
Only in that. A lot of times, it's also for the women.
Yeah.
For themselves. Hey. Okay. Celebrate your body.
I mean, that's cool. But can I ask you again? Could you imagine running across some pictures of your mom?
I have. Catherine in the 360 says, stick to Polaroids.
Coming up next,
there's a mic drop right there.
In the 11 o'clock hour, I need to ask Ursula a couple follow-up questions and agree to disagree. It is, oh my goodness, G and Ursula.